In 1978, Douglas Adams invented a character for a radio series, later to become a best-selling comedy, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. This character was a highly intelligent and advanced, but chronically depressed robot. Anybody tell me what his name was? Marvin. And Marvin's catchphrase was, "Life, don't talk to me about life." And I guess from time to time we can all feel like that. Some more than others, perhaps. But life can get us down. Life can be wearisome. It can seem pointless, dreary. It can be hopeless. Do we ever want to cry out with King David? "My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak." As Ezekiel receives this vision, the people of Israel are desperate. They're in exile. They're not political refugees, but they've been forcibly removed from their home and their land and taken to a foreign country. Their capital city, Jerusalem, their refuge, their stronghold, it's been destroyed. Even the temple of God, it's gone. A nation's hopes blown away by the might of Babylon, by her armies. Not only have they lost their homes, it seems they've lost their God, that he's deserted them. And what about God's promises? The promise of a rescuer, a Messiah, a king to save them. The prophet Ezekiel, he's also in exile with them. And it's his task to tell the people what's going on. Jerusalem's been destroyed because the people disobey God. They worship idols. They've behaved worse than all the other nations. The situation's bad. The people are helpless, hapless, hopeless. But God is merciful. After all, he is still speaking to them now. And into this desperate, hopeless situation, the Lord comes. But look at what he shows Ezekiel. Look with me at verse 1. Ezekiel writes, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." It's a bleak picture. There's a valley. The floor is covered with bones. Human bones. Dry bones. As far as the eye can see. Not even dead bodies, just bones. They've been there a while. There's no life here. It's hopeless, isn't it? And I wonder how surprised Ezekiel is by God's next words. Verse 3, he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Well, what do you say? Can dry bones live? No way. You must be joking. Dry bones live, that's impossible, isn't it? But Ezekiel's not so sure. He doesn't know where God's going with this yet. But he knows that God's here. And where there's God, there's always hope. His reply is cautious, but I think he's hopeful. I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Now, if God's question surprises Ezekiel, what God says now? Well, if Ezekiel was to burst out laughing, it wouldn't be much of a surprise. Verse 4, then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Speak to dry bones. Maybe some preachers know how Ezekiel feels. But if preachers can feel like they're preaching to dry bones, at least the people they're preaching to are breathing. Maybe sometimes it's the preacher who seems lifeless. And I'm sorry about that. We do try our best. But these are disarticulated bones. They're not even skeletons. What's the point of speaking to them? How can bones hear? They have no ears. They have no nervous system, they have no brain, just bones. Just like speaking quite literally to a brick wall. Like when you speak to someone, you know they're not listening to you, But at least you know they could listen if they wanted to. This is much, much worse than that. Dry bones can't even hear. But God has something to say to these dry bones. Ezekiel, tell them this, verse 5. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. Who's going to make these bones live? Look at what God says. He will make breath enter the bones. He will attach tendons to them, create flesh on them, cover them with skin. He will make them come to life. He will give them life. And he says this because he's the Sovereign Lord. He has total authority. He can do whatever he pleases to do. He can even give life to dry bones. You see, he is the only life giver. He's the only one who can give life, who does give life, who gives life to the dead. Do you know something? We're all born dead. We're all born dead. The first man and woman, Adam and Eve, God created them for life. He gave them life, eternal life. They ate from the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. They weren't going to die, ever. But they rebelled. They disobeyed God. They sinned. And God said to them, on the day you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And they ate. And it seemed that they didn't die immediately. But God sent them away. He sent them out of the garden, so they couldn't eat from the tree of life anymore. No more eternal life. And later they died physically. But they were already dead to God. And since then, as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, we're all born dead. Dead to God. Kept away from the tree of life. No eternal life. Just like these dry bones. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give life. To give it back to us. These are some of the things that Jesus said. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you get it? Jesus came to give life, eternal life, to all those who come to him. God gives life. But God gives Ezekiel this extraordinary command, prophesy to these dry bones. And Ezekiel does. What do you think is going to happen? Well, I guess most of us know we've heard this before. But imagine what Ezekiel must have felt and thought as he stood there and God told him to speak to a valley full of dry bones. Put yourself in his shoes for a minute. Well, let's see what happened. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He's standing in this valley full of bones and he speaks to them. He tells them, he speaks words to them. There's a rattling noise. Don't you love that? Love that bit of the story. There's a rattling noise. The bones start moving along the ground and they connect together in the right order. But can you tell me what's the right order for the bones to connect together? Nobody can tell me. The toe bone connects to the foot bone, right? The foot bone connects to the ankle bone. The ankle bone connects to the leg bone. Yeah. The leg bone connects to the knee bone. The knee bone connects to the thigh bone. The thigh bone connects to the hip bone. The hip bone connects to the backbone. The backbone connects to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bone connects to the neck bone. The neck bone connects to the head bone in that Negro spiritual that we all know and love, I'm sure. And this happens just because Ezekiel speaks to them. But what is it that he says? He speaks the word of the Lord. He tells them what God says. It's not his own words. He hasn't made it up. It's not his own ideas. It's not a motivational pep talk that he's dreamt up. He's not relating some story that he's been told. No, he speaks the word of the Lord. Because life only comes through God's word. No pep talk, no motivational speech, no matter how eloquent or clever or funny, can bring life. Only God's word can do that. That's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus came to preach. He came to speak God's word, so that people could have life, true life, eternal life. He said, "I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Paul, an early church leader, he said to Christians, hold firmly to the word of life. The word of life, that's God's word. The word of God is necessary for life, for eternal life. And I know most of you know this, don't you? But don't forget it. Keep on reading the Bible, listening to the word of God, telling other people the word of God. But these bones, now bodies, they're still not alive. Even though Ezekiel has told them God's word, why is there no life in these bodies yet? Well, let's read on. Verse 9. Then he, that is the Lord, said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. God tells Ezekiel to call on the breath, the wind, to blow on these lifeless bodies. Now the Hebrew word here in this chapter, translated breath, it's the same as the word translated wind in verse 6. It's the same word that's used translated spirit in verses 1 and 14. What's happening here? God is sending his breath, his spirit, to bring life. Just as when God made Adam and he formed him out of the dust and then he breathed into him. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Shows, you see, that life is God's gift. God is the life giver. God made everything by his word. We read in Genesis how he made the whole universe by his word. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and so on. But when it came to man, to create man, he breathed into him. True life comes through God's word, by his spirit. It's like Jesus said, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life. As we read God's word, as we hear God's word, we therefore expect the spirit to be at work through the word of God. Because that's how God works. That's how he gives life, through his word, by his spirit. And so as Ezekiel prophesies to the breath, life comes into these bodies. The inert, lifeless bodies, they come to life. They stand on their feet. What a transformation. Minutes earlier, just dry bones. Dead, lifeless bones. Now what? We have a vast army of living human beings standing on their feet because God has given them life. He's given them life through his word. Ezekiel preached to them by his spirit. God has breathed into them. And this pictures the transformation that God can do for you. The transformation maybe that he already has done for you. Maybe you already have life of this kind. It's like what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He was writing to Christians and he said, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. If you're not a Christian this morning, the Bible says that you are dead. You are dead to God. You are dead in your sins, in your disobedience. Do you want to know how you can have life? Even this morning, you need to be born again, born of the Spirit. Jesus talked about this to someone who came to see him. And we can read about it in John's Gospel. And Jesus told him he had to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. And to be born of the Spirit, it means to hear what Jesus says and to do what he says. We heard what Jesus told this man earlier. This is what Jesus said to him. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. If you want to have eternal life, hear what Jesus says and do it. Believe in him. Trust in him. He died on the cross so your sins can be forgiven. If you'll trust him, if you'll believe in him. But there's a flip side to what Jesus said. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. So for all of us, the lesson is this. We must listen to the word of God. We must listen to it and do what it says. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us. So that's why we pray to God when we read the word of God, that he'll help us understand it, that he'll help us to do what it says. And the Holy Spirit will work through the word of God to bring us life. God gives life through his word by his Spirit. But remember God's people, remember the Jews, they're in exile. What does this vision of dry bones have to do with them? Well, God tells Ezekiel what it all means, and it's really quite obvious. First of all, he explains that the Jews in exile, they're the dry bones. Verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. That's what it feels like when you lose hope, as these people have lost hope. When you've nowhere to turn, when you're helpless, it's like your bones are dried up. But God is their hope. God is their help. God will bring them back from their exile. He says that in verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say to them. So he says, now prophesy to the people in exile, the people of Israel. This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. He promises to do this. It seems impossible. Their city and temple are destroyed. But just as God can breathe life into dry bones, so he can bring his people back from exile. He can give them back their land. Look at what he calls them. He calls them my people. My people. He hasn't forgotten them. They think he's forgotten them, but he hasn't. And he wants them to know that he is the Lord. He is the faithful God who keeps his promises. He wants them to know that he is the Lord who has spoken. He wants them to be his people. And he will make them his people once more. And God did bring them back into the land. But the Jews who returned, well, they were still dead. They still disobeyed and walked away from God. They didn't have the Spirit. When God brought them back from exile, they kind of stopped at verse 8. They stopped at verse 12. But in this vision that God gives Ezekiel, he's looking forward further than that return from exile that took place 2,500 years ago. He's looking forward to Jesus. He's looking forward to the Word of God who came to make God known. He's looking forward to the Son of God who came to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. He's looking forward to making a new people who will be his people. You see, God gives life in order to make a people. After his resurrection, Jesus met his disciples. He appeared to them and he promised to breathe the Holy Spirit into them, to breathe the life of the Spirit into them. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And he comes now to bring new life, to give dead people life. People who are dead to God, he makes them alive. God had told Ezekiel about this, the chapter before. Just turn back in your Bible to chapter 36 and verse 26. Where God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." He will make a new people by putting a new heart and a new spirit in them. But who are God's people now? Well, if we're trusting in Jesus, we receive his promises. We receive a new heart, a new spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. Who are God's people? Well, we're God's people. We're made his people through his word, by his spirit. And we're joined with God's people all over the world. You see, God gives life through his word, by his spirit, to make a people. Now, God giving life to these dry bones, it didn't actually happen. It was a vision. But this vision is God painting a picture for us that tells us how he works. The fact that God brought the Jews back to Israel after their exile 2,500 years ago is proof that God does give life today. God gives life through his word, by his spirit, to make a people. Do you want to have life? Real life, true life, eternal life. Well, only God can give it to you. He's the one who gives life. So listen to his word. And as you do so, pray for the help of the Holy Spirit.